morning and welcome to Under the Olive Tree, the Palestinian Canadian community radio show. You are listening to CKUT Radio McGill 90.3 FM in Montreal. Today is January the 5th and the hour is 11. We will be with you till noon as usual. I'm Laith Maarouf, your host for the week. If you'd like to join our production team or have any questions for us, please email us at uot@ckut.ca. Again, that's uot@ckut.ca, or give us a call at area code 514-398-6788. Again, area code 514-398-6788. This is our first broadcast for 2006. Happy New Year's to all our listeners. In today's show, we will be looking back at 2005, the year in review in Palestine, with CKUT's reporter in Palestine, Kristen S. She is stationed there and she has conducted 4 interviews regarding the most important stories in Palestine. The first is with the director of the Palestinian Network of NGOs, Amjad Al-Shawa, on the situation in Gaza. Her second interview is conducted in Bilayn with one of the nonviolent resistance leaders, Muhammad Al-Khatib. And she has 2 more interviews, one with Bassam Sbih from the Palestinian Prisoner Society in Beit Lahem, and finally with Dr. Mustafa Barghouti on the situation in Jerusalem and the elections and the wall that is engulfing Jerusalem.
صاعداً نحو التئام الحلم تتخذ التفاصيل الرديئة شكل كمثرى وتنفصل البلاد عن المكاتب والخيول عن الحقائب للحصى عرق أقبل صمت هذا الملح أعطي خطبة الليمون للليمون أوقد شمعتي من جرحي المفتوح للأزهار والسمك المجفف للحصى عرق ومرآة وللحطاب قلب يمامة أنساك أحيانا لينسان رجال الأمن يا امرأة الجميلة تقطعين القلب والبصل الطري وتذهبين إلى البنفسج فاذكريني قبل أن أنسى يدي.
From the West Bank, I'm Kristen S. with the Year in Review from Palestine for 2005. The year's top story is Israel's withdrawal from the Gaza Strip. They did not really end the occupation, nor did they fully withdraw, but they would like us to think that they had. The attacks continue, and the ceasefire, agreed upon between Israelis and Palestinians on February 8th in Sharm el-Sheikh, has yet to be honored by the Israelis. Within its first week, they continued killing. And the attacks in the Gaza Strip continue as it is not only open season on the armed resistance, regardless of its legitimacy
under international law. It is a full-out attack on all Palestinians, from closures
to shelling to sonic booms that frighten children nearly to death. On the line from Gaza City to talk about the reality of 2005 in the Gaza Strip is the director of the Palestinian Network of NGOs, Amjad Al-Shawa. Welcome, Amjad.
Thanks.
First, can you tell us about this withdrawal that happened this summer?
Really, it's a big false. Our concern regarding the disengagement of what everybody is calling ending the occupation of Gaza Strip. The Israelis physically still surrounding the Gaza Strip from all directions, from the sea, from the sky, and not to forget what's happening this day, which is the new military operation, the north of Gaza Strip, where they will have a new buffer zone to isolate thousands of Palestinians, to prevent the farmers, the people to arrive their land in the north of the Gaza Strip. As you mentioned in your report, the sonic bombs, which is day by night, and they didn't discriminate between the 4 a.m. or 3 a.m. or the din while the children are going to school. And from Sharm el-Sheikh agreement, ceasefire till now, more than 160 people were killed by the Israeli occupation forces. these days in the Israeli prisons, more than 9,200 Palestinians who are political prisoners. So, you know, these days we are living in very severe conditions. More than 25 bombs by the Israeli tanks towards the north of Gaza Strip. This morning, the aircraft also shelled the Gaza Strip. The people are frightened, are scared, and we have no feeling. If you are talking about the fishers, for example, in the Palestinian Mediterranean Sea, where we had a hope that we can the fishers can work freely. Two of them were killed just in 1 week. So how we can say that Gaza is free? It's impossible.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that feeling that you mentioned of hope when you thought that the fishermen were going to be able to fish in the Mediterranean when the Rafah border was initially opened? For those first couple of days, there seemed to be a feeling of elation. People were happy to come and go. People were hopeful when the Israelis took out the settlers and when the military machines left. They thought that perhaps they would have a chance at having a life. Can you talk about those initial moments of happiness and what's happened after that to that feeling of hope?
Really, in the moment that the Israelis left Gaza Strip, from inside Gaza Strip, for me, as a Palestinian from Gaza Strip, I haven't, you know, before. I couldn't believe that they will withdraw from the Gaza Strip. But also, in the same time, I have a lot of feeling, contradicted, you know, feeling that something will happen. Gaza is not alone. I'm a Palestinian from Palestine. Palestine, which is West Bank, Gaza Strip, Jerusalem. Israel give the Palestinian the Gaza and the word Gaza to show that this is the end. They show it, you know, this is a gift from them. They occupy it and they left, you know, still the rubbles of this destroyed houses of the settlers still in its place. Although we ask the international community to intervene, it's poisoned. Asbestos, which is very poison for our land, for our water. Not to forget, the lack of water, more than 37 years of the settlements in the Gaza Strip, they were confiscating the water of the Gaza Strip, and nowadays the Mawasi area, which was very rich of water, which is famous of its water, it's suffering from lack of water. And another issue, the poverty. Now Gaza is closed. What is the meaning of Rafah border is open and the people has no money to travel? The unemployment is getting day by day higher than before. It's increased. You can't, you know, these issues, the poverty, the unemployment, what it caused here, the issues of rule of law, the violations of rule of law, the kidnapping, etc. I will not justify these things, but one of the main reasons of that, the closures, the high percent of the, and the promises of the international community to have more donations for the Gaza Strip to rebuild it, and not to forget again the connection between the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. We have a lot of hopes to be in contact with our brothers in the West Bank. It's supposed to be opened in December, but the Israelis, of course, have their claims, etc., that they will not open the crossing between Gaza and the West Bank. So again, not just the fishers who was targeted, all the Palestinian sectors were targeted by the Israelis during these days. When you are talking about sonic bombs, when they are threatening the children, all the children, Palestinian children in the Gaza Strip were threatened. Why not before, while the settlements in Gaza Strip, they didn't use the sonic bombs? They were afraid for and scared about their children. about the settlers' children. But when the children of the settlers left Gaza Strip, they used the sonic bombs. And they know well what's the meaning of sonic bombs. The F-16 aircraft, which is an American-made aircraft, are used against our children, against our women. How many pregnant women in the Gaza Strip lost their babies because of this? How many sick people got heart attacks? You can't... It's scared here. And the another issue, they closed Gaza Strip not to enter any international, to be an eyewitness for what's happening here.
And what is happening to the thousands and thousands of Palestinians that were rendered homeless in areas such as Rafah, where we watched the Israeli bulldozers destroy rows and rows and rows of homes over the past year and the past several years? Well, where are those people now?
The same conditions before this engagement, and they continue living in rent houses or small houses or with relatives. They are waiting and waiting for that. There is some projects run by UNRWA or by some Arab countries. Hopefully, 2-3 years we will have new homes for them, but we don't know. But their condition is still. The home is, on one side, is a good thing to have, but on the end of the day, you have a family. You want to feed them, to grow them, to teach them, to get them to the schools, which is very important also. It's not just the issue of home, which is very important. But again, Rafah is one of the Rafah area is the highest area in Palestine, where is poverty, where is unemployment. But the good things in 2005, we are talking now anew about democracy, although these sufferings. The Palestinians are thirsty and are looking to the new parliamentary elections, which will be on next month, hopefully. And what's happening right now, also, they are fighting our democracy, the Israelis, through preventing our people in Jerusalem to be part of this democratic process. And second, not to let the Palestinian candidates from Gaza Strip, mainly, you know, the success of the Palestinian civil society to change the election law, that there will be less political blocks. So how the candidates can move from the Gaza to the West Bank?
Even during this year of 2005, even the head of Palestinian negotiations, Dr. Saab Arafat, referred to the Gaza Strip as a big prison. It sounds like it hasn't changed, that it hasn't gotten any better over 2005, regardless of the Israeli propaganda that there was a withdrawal. What else do you expect for 2006?
First, what is waiting for us in the beginning of 2006, which is the election, parliamentary election. And this time, most of the Palestinian political parties will be part of this election. Whatever will be the results of the election, I think there will be a lot of changes in the Palestinian career. That, for example, Hamas will be part of the election. And PFLP, others, will be part of this election. So hopefully, through the elections and after the elections, we will have a new political system that everyone will be part of the Palestinian government. So we are looking to have more democracy and more reforms and to change, which is very important. And through democracy, hopefully, we can fight, we can do a lot. And not, for example, one of the biggest issues we have to fight, which is the apartheid wall in the West Bank. Okay, we are living in Gaza in our severe conditions, but not to forget how much our brothers in the West Bank and how they're living, more than hundreds of checkpoints. And the apartheid wall, which divide villages, homes, etc. So we are looking to work hard, hand by hand, with each other. And we are looking for the international civil society to work with us forward to have more democracy in Palestine and to defend our legitimate rights as Palestinians, as part of this world, that we are looking as the others for freedom, and we are not calling for something strange. I have, Israel can't anymore claim that Gaza is not under occupation. It's according to the international law, to the Geneva Convention, Gaza is still occupied. So my dream to be free still existed. Not the meaning that Rafah Crossing and all this propaganda that Rafah Crossing is open and everything is finished. No. And again, if you have a look by focus on the health conditions of the Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip, how much they are in need to move from the Gaza Strip to the West Bank or to some Israeli hospitals, for example, the cancer or the traumatized people. A lot of people are prevented to go to the Israeli hospitals. So hopefully, our friends all over the world will move with us towards free Palestine. Free Palestine meaning without walls, without closures, that me and my son and my grandson, hopefully, can live freely as the others all over the world. Security for the Israelis is not the meaning killing of the Palestinians. Also the Palestinians asking for security for themselves.
As always, it's such a pleasure to talk with you, Amjad Al-Shawa, director of the Pingo from Gaza City. Please take care of yourself, and inshallah, 2006 will be better.
Hopefully, thanks.
وأعد أضلاعي فيهرب من يدي بردا وتتركني ضفاف النيل مبتعدا وأبحث عن حدود أصابعي فأرى العواصم كلها زبدا.
You are listening to 2005's Year in Review from Palestine with your host, Kristen S. The nonviolent resistance continued in Bil'ain village, west of Ramallah, throughout 2005. Daily and weekly demonstrations against the wall and land confiscation were a regular occurrence. With us is one of the leaders of Bil'ain's nonviolent resistance, Mohammed Khatib. Welcome to the show, Mohammed. Can you start by telling us about your program of demonstrations against the wall and land confiscation?
As you said, we are leading now a nonviolent struggle against the confiscation of the land and increasing the settlement and building the settlement in our land. It starts from 20 of February 25, around 10 months now. We are in the first, we made it demonstration every day, later two times a week, and now every Friday there is a demonstration. And now we continue our struggle and expand it to, we know it's not only our aim is the wall, but also the land and the illegal settlement that they are built in our land. From 2 weeks, we start, or from one week, before 1 week, we made a continuous camp in our land, and we are staying there. We build a room, and we are every daily, yani night and day, we are there. 24 hours we are in the land.
And how much land have the Israelis confiscated from Bilayn village?
It's confiscated 2,003 dunum from 4,000 dunum. Around 60% from our land is now behind the wall. And all these land are going to increase and to build new settlements in this land. We speak about a city, not a settlement. It's five settlements and then another new one, six settlements collected together in one block settlement called Modena Rit. The Ministry of Housing plan, it will reach at 2020 to 150,000 people or settlers will live in this settlement.
And this is all on confiscated Palestinian land. What is the reaction of the Israeli military to your nonviolent demonstrations?
against our nonviolent demonstration, we see the violence of the soldiers. We show the real photo that there is victim and there is victimizers. And the Palestinians who are with the Israelis and the international activists who go with nonviolent demonstration, the soldiers are aggressive and violent. Until now, they injured 350 persons, demonstrators. 10 of them were in bad situation and serious situation. They injured in the head. And 20 persons of my village, until now, they are in the jail. 4 months, and they put on them a lot of money bill.
So that's the reaction of the Israeli soldiers to nonviolent demonstrations.
Yes, it's not stopping there. They are also go in collective punishment against the village. They make curfew, they arrested, they attended people, they threatened people in the night. They take them from their houses and put them outside. They made checkpoints around the village. They didn't allow the Israelis and international to come to the village to participate with the Israelis because, as you know, the order of fire, of shooting, are different if there is only Palestinian than if there is Israelis and international nationals in the demonstration.
And what is that difference? I understand the Israelis shoot gas, they shoot rubber bullets, and sometimes they use live ammunition, besides the fact that they beat people. What's the difference between when you have international observers and when you are there alone as a community?
Yes, the shooting of ammunition fire or live bullet, they didn't use it as they... If there is only Palestinian. If there is only Palestinian, they kill. As what's happened in Betlikia, 3 people killed. As what's happened in Biddu, 5 people killed because they were alone without Israelis and international. Yes, and this they may kill.
And so there are many, many Palestinian villages that are conducting these sorts of nonviolent demonstrations against land confiscation and against wall construction. What are your plans for Bilayn village for the year 2006? Will you continue?
Yes, we will continue, and we hope that it will not stop in Bilayn and to be expand to another villages. As what's happened, when we start, it were in Biddu and in Budros and in Jayus, and we learn from their experience, and we hope that it will expand to another villages. What is happening now in Abud, and we hope that it will be in another places, and we have to be more united and to work together, Israelis and international and the Palestinian, as common struggle or joint struggle, and we establish, this room, what we speak about it, that it's built in the land that they confiscated behind the wall, we called it as common struggle center. And we hope that from this point, we will expand and we will reach another places in Palestine to broke the fact in the ground that the settlers and the occupation forces want to do to kill the opportunity of building a Palestinian state, and they're taking more and more land. We have to broke this fact in land and to put our fact in land.
I want to thank you, Hamid Khatib, for doing some of the most important work for the state of Palestine and for the Palestinian people throughout the entire year of 2005. You are a strong activist against the wall and against land confiscation and settlement expansion. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
In Gaza, those exiled from the Church of Nativity in May 2002 are still awaiting their promised return to Bethlehem, as well as are all refugees throughout the world, continuing to wait for the implementation of UN Resolution 194, the right of return. But instead of returning from exile in Gaza, a place that has been referred to as a big prison, the Palestinian political prisoner population continues to rise. We are pleased to have with us from Bethlehem's Palestinian Prisoner Society, Bassem Speh. Welcome to the show, Bassem.
Thank you, Kristen.
Can you start by telling us some basic facts? How many prisoners are there now in the Israeli jails?
At the end of this year, there is still in Israeli jails at least 8,800 Palestinian prisoners. This number includes 350 underage and 113 female.
And what are the sort of conditions that the Palestinian political prisoners are living under? What are the sort of reports that you get daily in the prisoner society?
Well, the conditions are still the same as well. Israeli authority is still imprison Palestinian prisoners because they need them as or they kidnap them from many hospitals, and the condition, as you know, they are deprived the family visit. Many prisoners exposed to severe torture. And as we hear today, there is a hunger strike started in Al-Kubiya, put pressure for the administration in Al-Kubiya jail to release some prisoners who finished their investigation.
And some of the conditions that people are suffering under are going against basic human rights, such as people are not allowed to have proper blankets for the winter, proper clothes, medical, anything they need for their medical conditions.
Exactly. There is suffer many diseases, such as cancer. They need clothes for this cold weather, and we received many certificates from our lawyers that prisoners, especially this month, live under horrible condition inside their jails for their rooms and cells.
And during the year 2005, the Israelis made several promises to release prisoners. We did not see that happen. Instead, we've seen the prisoner population increase as the Israelis continue its major arrest policy of Palestinians throughout the West Bank. Do you have any comment on the lack of carrying through of Israeli promises for these prisoners?
Well, as we all know, that Israelis lie all the time. They promised many times to release prisoners, especially in this year, but we did not see anything at the time.
And what do you think is going to happen in the year 2006? Do you expect more of the same, or do you expect any changes?
I expect the same policy from the Israelis. What we need as Palestinians, we need a Palestinian movement, and we called the coming year the year of the prisoners. So we should stand up with our prisoners and call for everyone to release Palestinian prisoners.
Thank you for joining us, Bassem Speh, and for keeping the issue of Palestinian political prisoners on the top of the political agenda, which is where it should be. Bassem Speh from the Palestinian Prisoner Society. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kristen. Bye.
حرة جنب الساقية قايمة نايمة صاحية
You're listening to 2005's Year in Review from Palestine with your host, Kristen S. As so many feared, the trade-off for the so-called withdrawal from Gaza would be the West Bank, and so it is. Israeli Prime Minister Sharon and Israeli military head Mofez both said this year that the major settlement blocks will never be removed, but instead expanded. That includes those blocking the West Bank and Jerusalem, such as Mali Abdumim, and those that are dividing the West Bank into unsustainable cantons, such as the largest, Ariel. While navigating throughout 2005, the closures, checkpoints, roadblocks, wall route, and settlements, Palestinians continued trying to exercise their democratic rights and participate in the electoral process. That ranged from presidential elections that brought President Abbas to four phases of largely successful municipal elections, which engaged more Palestinian parties in the political sphere, to the difficult PLC registration period and the split and makeup of the Fatah party. Included also were the U.S. and EU joining the Israelis in threatening Hamas's participation in PLC elections, and to the Israelis threatening to keep out all residents of the slated capital of the future Palestinian state, Jerusalem, from the electoral process. On the line to discuss these issues and more is Dr. Mustafa Barghouti, politician, political activist, and well-known member of civil society. Can you begin by talking to us about the situation in Jerusalem, not only with the blockage from the settlements and the Jerusalem envelope, but also the prevention of Jerusalemites from participating in the PLC elections?
Well, Jerusalem has become a big prison, and there is more than one-fifth of Jerusalemites are unable to reach Jerusalem now. I mean, actually, the wall which is being built is shutting off hundreds of thousands of people from access to health care, to education, to working place. And it is transforming the whole country into clusters of prisons and prison-like entities. One of the main goals of the wall is to isolate Jerusalem from the rest of the West Bank and annex it practically completely. Regarding the elections in Jerusalem, Israel has always put obstacles in front of the practice of democracy by Palestinians living in East Jerusalem. And you remember during the presidential elections, they arrested me or attacked me or prevented me from reaching people 8 times in 8 weeks. So this has been an established practice, and now they are threatening even to upscale this practice and prevent any form of participation in the elections in Jerusalem. And our response to that is not to accept it and resist it. We believe that democratic elections is the best form of nonviolent resistance. And we believe that if the Israelis try to stop us, we should do it even if we have to run elections house to house and neighborhood to neighborhood.
And what can you say about the U.S. and the European Union now joining the Israelis in trying to prevent the Hamas party from participating in the PLC elections?
Democracy is democracy, and democracy means that all political forces should be allowed to participate in the election process. And we want Hamas to participate, and we want also to beat Hamas in the elections, because we think that Palestinians deserve better. And we think, contrary to the stereotype that is prevailing in the international media, the competition in the elections is not just between Hamas and Fatah. This stereotype as if Palestinians are divided only between Hamas and Fatah is not correct. There is also a third very important democratic force which we represent, which will also have an important participation and important say in the upcoming elections. And with democratic opposition in place, Hamas will not get a majority. And only when there is no democratic opposition participating that Hamas would get majority, because there is a strong, serious mood in Palestine against the corruption of the authority, against the mismanagement, against the failure of the peace process, and people want to choose opposition. That's why the presence of a democratic alternative is a very important formula to establish a good balance in the upcoming Legislative Council.
Do you think that that if some sort of better balance is achieved, will things such as the Mali Abdoumin settlement and the Ariel settlement, those that Mufaz and Sharon both said will never be removed, will there be any chance to remove them? Will there be a chance for any sort of Palestinian state that will be contiguous instead of broken up into these cantons?
This is the only way we can achieve peace. Without that, we will never have peace. If Palestine remains clusters of prisons and ghettos, there will never be neither peace nor stability in the region. The Palestinians have been struggling for 38 years against occupation, against oppression, for their freedom and dignity. And this is what we will continue to do. The only difference is that we have now more obstacles, more settlements, and more walls. And I think this should promote our struggle further to get our freedom and dignity. I do believe that if the wall is not removed and if the international community does not show serious pressure on Israel to abide by international law and implement the International Court of Justice resolution, the Hague resolution, then probably there will be a third intifada, and this third intifada will be an intifada against the wall, because the wall is suffocating people. I have been traveling the last 3 weeks from one village to another. I tell you, people are suffocating economically. There is poverty. There is unemployment. It is impossible to run anything, healthcare, education, economic activities. The whole country is imprisoned behind the wall, and this cannot be tolerated by any people.
There are many people who have commented about the wall and said things like, I was never able to leave my city in the first place because of the checkpoints, so the wall doesn't make much of a difference to me. At the same time, the Israelis are now constructing these sort of terminals in Beit Lahem and Ramallah that many consider are going to be international borders, as if these are the new borders between Israel and Palestine. What can you comment on that?
The wall is specifically designed to annex 50% of the land of the West Bank and take away, all the territories around every Palestinian community, whether it's a city, a village, or a refugee camp. And so basically, the wall is an instrument through which Israel is taking away the Palestinian land and keeping the communities, the population who are living in inhabited areas, keeping them surrounded by the wall. It's like Bantustans, only with one difference, that in Bantustans in South Africa, you had large areas with land and resources. Here you are talking only about communities isolated from each other. And I believe that the wall does provide institutionalization of the checkpoints, institutionalization of the separation and the fragmentation. And that's why it is even more dangerous than the checkpoints.
And what about if these international border crossings, as some people consider them, that they will be, what if they remain in place? What kinds of ways can the Palestinian resistance combat that if they remain?
We should not recognize them. I think we should defy them. This is the only way.
In what way to defy them? What are your ideas?
Israel determines that the passage should happen only through that passage. We should not accept that. And there should be peaceful, nonviolent defiance of these Israeli measures. And I think this is the only way to survive. If people are stuck behind these bars and behind these gates and behind these entrances, this is like a sentence to gradual death of the community, of economy, of education, of health care. We cannot accept that.
The Israelis seem to have declared open season on all Palestinians, whether based on political affiliation, based on armed resistance activities or nonviolence resistance activities. The prisoner population is soaring. What can people do about that?
I think what we need is a strategy that could combine popular mass nonviolent struggle with a strong international solidarity movement and a wave of demands for sanctions on Israel, especially sanctioning military relations. And I think countries like those countries in the West who say they respect human rights and international law should at least abstain from importing military equipment from Israel and having military cooperation with Israel. A campaign of sanctions should be initiated, combined with every possible internal measure we can do to help people steadfast and survive these difficult conditions. I don't think there is a place anywhere in the world now where there is such an amount of injustice like the situation is in Palestine.
And how could it be that even the EU could join in the U.S. and the Israelis in trying to sanction and trying to stop the democratic process in Palestine? The EU was thought by many people in Palestine to be supporters in certain ways, at least politically. And we saw the negotiations process completely fail when Palestinians and Israelis agreed to some sort of ceasefire, if you could use that term, on February 8th in Sharm el-Sheikh. And in that same week, the Israelis continued their process of killing. If negotiations don't work, if the international community is not behind the Palestinians on a political level, what other resources do we have as a community to be able to combat this?
I think what we need is a movement, a big movement. What we need is also to bring to people's attention, the people's attention in the whole world, the reality about Palestine. The problem is that there is a very serious gap between what's happening on the ground and the perception of what's happening on the ground. And Israel has engaged during the last 5 years in a constant process of delegitimization and dehumanization of Palestinians. And they are now trying to use that to justify their measures, their horrible measures against the population. If Israel, now look what Israel is doing in the northern part of Gaza. They're practically practicing ethnic cleansing. They're ethnically cleansing a whole region, a whole area from Palestinians, regardless of whether they are civilians, militants, workers, peasants, it doesn't matter. They're declaring a whole area completely free of every Palestinian. And if any Palestinian goes there, they are threatening to shoot him by helicopters and missiles and tank shells. This is a very serious process, and the world community must do something about it. Regarding the European Union and some other American positions, I think the problem here is that a lot of responsible people see the reality on the ground in Palestine through Israeli glasses. They have to learn how to see things by their own eyes, without Israeli paradigm and without the Israeli perception. Only in that situation they would be able to have a balanced approach, an approach that is eventually in favor of all people, including Palestinians and Israelis. Because at the end of the day, if peace prevails here, then it would be in the interest of both Palestinians and Israelis. What is happening now on the ground is the build-up of hatred, is the build-up of factors that would lead to a much bigger and more serious severe conflict in the future.
Unfortunately, the Israelis have gotten away with a lot of this by launching one of the most successful propaganda campaigns in the course of history. Somehow they do present themselves as the victims instead of the victimizers, and somehow the international community is buying this. We have a great problem in the media, and we need to find ways to combat the media and their perceptions. But if the Israelis impose restrictions on foreigners coming to witness, such as foreigners not being allowed into Gaza, the arrests of activists who come in to bear witness, the problems that international journalists have with being able to move and being subject to severe restrictions by the Israeli government, how can we combat that propaganda campaign if we're not given access as a foreign population?
First of all, I don't think that when we speak about international community, it's universal or homogenous. I think there is a greater understanding on the side of the people of Europe and even the United States than on the side of the governments. And I believe there is a very good base to provide better information, But what we need is good organization and good focused effort on the target that we are aiming at. At the same time, I think, I do hope that the president, that the Palestinian upcoming parliamentary elections will provide an additional tool that can be used with a new leadership, with a fresh change, with more capable people who are closer to the public and closer to the interest of the public. I think with a new leadership that could fill the vacuum that have that has prevailed, we probably will have better chances in influencing the international community. But you're right about the media. It's a big issue. It's a serious one, and it requires the efforts of every person who is interested in the human rights and in international law and in justice in principle.
It sounds as if you have a decent plan for the year of 2005, and we saw a very negative for 2006, and we saw a very negative 2005. I wonder if you see anything positive having come out of the year 2005 instead of just the news of the situation becoming worse and worse and more difficult for the Palestinian population. But did anything good come out of this year?
The situation is much worse, definitely, than before from every perspective. But I must say there is also something positive. What we see now in Palestine is a democratic revolution, a true revolution of democracy. And I think the fact that we as oppressed people, occupied people, people under oppression, have managed to pave the road of democracy in the Middle East, to provide one of the best examples of how people under difficulties can still run democratic elections, to me this is a very important achievement. I think it has broken a wall that has been there for more than 10 years, and it is opening the road for fresh blood, for new ideas, for a new fresh start. And I want to feel optimistic. I know it's very difficult. I know the situation is horrible, but I feel optimistic that we are going to start this new year with a major change internally in Palestine that hopefully would lead to a bigger change externally.
I'd like to tell you that, as always, it's a pleasure to speak with you, Dr. Mustafa Barghouti, a political activist, politician, a member of civil society, an active member in the Palestinian community. Thank you so much for joining us today on the line.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
You are listening to 2005's Year in Review from Palestine with your host, Kristen S. Largely unreported in the year 2005 is the water shortage throughout the Middle East areas of Jordan, Egypt, Palestine, and with the Israelis as well. As such, not only to strangle the Palestinian economy by preventing farmers in areas like Qalqilia surrounded by the wall from reaching their farmlands, the Israelis created the wall route to block Palestinian access from their sources of water, ensuring that invaluable water resources end up on the Israeli side of the wall. To come in 2006, we will see more terminal checkpoints, suggesting international borders to be imposed on more cities than just Bethlehem, Ramallah, and the Gaza Strip. And in 2006, if the EU, the US, and the Israelis do not get their way, Palestine will have a new PLC government that includes members of Hamas. Signing off from the year 2005 in Palestine, I'm Kristen S.
You are still listening to Under the Olive Tree, the Palestinian Canadian Community Radio Show on CQUT 90.3 FM. Today's special was the Year in Review with Kristen S. from Palestine. She had great interviews, as we have heard, and there was four songs that we played during the hour. The first two were by Marcel Khalifa from his album Ahmed Al Arabi, and the last two were from Sabrine from their album Smoke of Volcanoes. All the songs were poems from Palestinian poets. Thank you very much for being with us. Until we meet next week under the olive tree, I wish you a happy new year and a free, free Palestine.